Greetings. June 21st is National Indigenous Peoples Day, which acknowledges the Métis, Inuit, and First Nations and their contributions to our society. To celebrate this day and our Indigenous neighbors, let's hear and sing one of their songs from our Blue Hymnal, number 35, Many and Great, O God. The text is by Joseph Renville, and it uses a Plains Indian melody. Many and great, O God, are thy things, Maker of earth and sky. Thy hands have set the heavens with stars, thy fingers spread the mountains and plains. Lo, at thy word the waters were formed, deep seas obey thy voice. Grant unto us communion with thee, O thou abiding one. Come unto us and dwell with us. With thee are found the gifts of life. Bless us with life that has no end, eternal life with thee.
Good morning and welcome to this morning's worship service from Zion Mennonite Church. My name is Carla Phoenix and I will be your worship leader for our virtual service today, and I hope that you feel God's presence as we worship together. Today is the first Sunday of summer as well as Father's Day. We want to acknowledge those who are fathers, those who are struggling to become a father, those who have stepped in to fill the role of father, and those dealing with the loss of a father, either through death, absence, or a strained relationship. As a father, God helps us in many ways through his mercy, his disciplines, his sacrifices, his instructions, and his love. There are a few announcements that I would like to highlight today. Camp Elam is selling uncooked cottage cheese and Saskatoon berry pierogies as they were unable to host the spring pierogi supper. There are 3 dozen pierogies per bag, and the cost is $8 per bag. You can contact Grace in the church office to purchase them. There is a sign-up chart for our summer worship services that is posted on the bulletin board, as we have done in recent summers. You may also phone or email the church office if you are willing to sign up to help contribute to our services. Ken Duick is still willing to continue making the audio recordings, and the church office will be open to make the bulletins. Be on the lookout for a survey of 4 questions on reopening our worship services that will be sent out either by mail or email for everyone to have an opportunity to give their opinion. And our colorful bulletin covers have been discontinued, and so we're looking for any black and white drawings that could be suitable as our new bulletin covers. Today's call to worship is based on Psalm 68, verses 4 to 5 and 19. Come, sing praises to God. Rejoice in his presence, for he is our God, a father to the fatherless and the defender of all who need protection. The one in whom the lonely find a home and the prisoner finds release. Bless the Lord, the God of our salvation, who sustains and strengthens us day after day. Let's worship God together. Please join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for your perfect fathering. We praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, shepherded and nurtured, disciplined and challenged, so we can flourish in your purpose and plan for us and bear our Father's image more fully still. Father God, thank you for your perfect example. We praise you because you show all fathers how to love, to shepherd and nurture, discipline and challenge, so their sons and daughters can flourish in this world as you have planned and carry your presence to all they meet. God, bless all fathers today with wisdom, with patience, with courage, and above all, with love for their children. God, bless all children today with openness to correction, with eagerness to learn, and above all, with love for their fathers. Father God, bless all who are fatherless today. Surround them with godly men to teach, affirm, and guide, and above all, to love with the love of a father in your strength. Amen.
Let us join together and sing the song, Come Thou Almighty King. It's number 41 in the blue hymnal. It celebrates the 1 in 3, Almighty King, Incarnate Word, and Holy Comforter.
Offerings may be dropped off at any time. E-transfers can be made to zion.pay@sastel.net. Let's pray. Faithful Father, thank you that you give the gift of abundant eternal life. You have said that you are a good Father who gives us good gifts. Your generosity overflows to us. Everything we have is a gift from you. As we bring our offerings to you, we give back to you from the abundant blessings you have given us. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength be unto our God forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
from the future, but it holds a mystery. And revealed unto its season, something not a long time see.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from evil. For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours forever. Amen.
Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 to 21. As time went by and Isaac grew and was weaned, Abraham gave a big party to celebrate the happy occasion. But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar, making fun of Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded, "Get rid of that servant and her son. He is not going to share the family inheritance with my son, Isaac. I won't have it." This upset Abraham very much, because Ishmael was his son. But God told Abraham, "Do not be upset over the boy and your servant wife. Do just as Sarah says, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. But I will make a nation of the descendants of Hagar's son, because he is also your son." So Abraham got up early in the morning, prepared food for the journey, and strapped a container of water to Hagar's shoulders. He sent her away with her son and walked out into the wilderness of Beersheba, wandering aimlessly. When the water was gone, she left the boy in the shade of the bush. Then she went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. "I don't want to watch the boy die," she said, as she burst into tears. Then God heard the boy's cries, and the angel of God called to Hagar from the sky. "Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy's cries from the place where you laid him. Go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants." Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw well. She immediately filled her water container, and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up in the wilderness of Paran. He became an expert archer, and his mother arranged a marriage for him with a young woman from Egypt.
Jeremiah 20, verses 7 to 13. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I've become laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, "Terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are waiting to watch me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten.
O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous, you see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for you have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers.
This is Linda Thiessen reading the Psalm 69, verses 7 to 18 from the New International Version. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I am a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes.
This is Marcia McLean, and I am reading Psalm 86 from the Living Faith Bible. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for my life depends on you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask your aid. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever trouble strikes, and you will answer me. Nowhere among the pagan gods is there a God like you, O Lord. There is no other miracles like yours. All the nations, and you made each one, will come and bow before you, Lord. They will praise your great and holy name. For you are great and perform great miracles. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, that I may honor you. With all my heart I will praise you, O Lord my God. I will give glory to your name forever. For your love for me is very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death. O God, insolent people rise up against me. Violent people are trying to kill me, and you mean nothing to them. But you, O Lord, are a merciful and gracious God, slow to get angry, full of unfailing love and truth. Look down and have mercy on me. Give strength to your servant. You save me, for I am your servant. Send me a sign of your favor. Then those who hate me will put me to shame. For you, O Lord, help and comfort me.
Romans 6, 1-11 from the NIV, read by Herman Wiebe. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we had been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Good morning and welcome here this morning. Welcome there this morning. Wherever you are, welcome to the first day of summer. I was reminded by a fellow working in the produce department, not my husband, different store. But this fellow said, on Sunday, it's going to be the first day of summer, and this is the first warm weather that we've had. And he went on and on and on. He was quite distraught that the days were going to now begin getting shorter, and we hadn't had warm enough weather yet, and on and on. I tried to encourage him, but sometimes the best encouragement is just saying, when someone is on our tear. Either way, you are welcome here, and I hope that this message this morning doesn't leave you feeling too uncomfortable, even though I've entitled it Things That Make Us Uncomfortable. That title came to my mind as I was going through the texts, and it was the opposite of the Sound of Music reference that I started with. So most of us have either watched or know about that movie, The Sound of Music. Wonderful little heartwarming movie, even though the underlying issues are much more dire, in fact, catastrophic. Yet we look at the movie and think, oh, how nice, how sweet. And then when Julie Andrews starts singing, these are a few of my favorite things. Oh, isn't that lovely, wonderful. We don't want to be those who thrust their head in the sand. Pretend everything is okay when everything is not okay. We want to be realistic. Realistic in assessing what's going on in the world around us, and also realistic knowing where God is in the midst of all of this. Let's begin by prayer. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we won't spend any more time on the Sound of Music, but only to think of, okay, that's not the kind of people that we want to be. We want to be people of action. We want to be realists. And realistically speaking, if you look at all of the texts that were read for us, that were on the lectionary list for today, all of them were a little bit jarring if we were actually paying attention. They were to make us squirm a little bit. And I started to think about and wonder if that isn't perhaps how we should be feeling each and every Sunday. Not entirely uncomfortable, and yet not as comfortable perhaps as we have come to expect. And as I was thinking those kind of thoughts, and then I realized that's exactly what is happening in the story of in Jeremiah chapter 20, which is the text that I've chosen to focus on today. The story of Jeremiah versus Pashur, the priest. And so I figured it makes sense for us to look at this story, recognize what's happening there, and know that we too, we Mennonites especially, can say, yes, one of the very first things that makes me uncomfortable is conflict. I will avoid it at all costs. And what do we have here but a story of conflict? Not just conflict out there somewhere, story of conflict right in the community of believers. I want to say of the church, but that was not the case. They called it the house of the Lord. But for our all intents and purposes, let's call it the church. And it's not some hoodlums from the street who have decided to cause a ruckus in the church. No, this is the priest, the leader, the head priest, the lead pastor. Imagine if we have a whole gaggle of pastors. And this is a conflict between the lead pastor and another person in ministry, a different type of ministry, but ministry nonetheless. And they get into it. It becomes a real battle. And if you look at what has happened, I wanted us to look at the first verses, not the ones that were read, verses 7 to 13. But the story happens in verses 1 to 6, which is the cause of 7 to 13, which is Jeremiah lamenting. So the story of the conflict between the priest, the head priest of the house of the Lord, versus Jeremiah. And in your mind, well, in my mind, I just heard the ding, ding, ding of the boxing ring. Okay, go ahead, square off. You're ready to fight. And that's exactly what happened. The priest was very upset with Jeremiah for prophesying the way he was prophesying. And so, first count against the priest is for assault because he struck him. He actually went out and hit Jeremiah. Second thing he did was wrongful confinement. He threw him in the stocks. And another shocker for me, anyway, this conflict just gets worse and worse. He threw him in the stocks that were in the house of the Lord. So they had a place especially meant for these kinds of events. Or criminals, I don't know what. But there you have it. He threw him in the stocks in the house of the Lord. And then the next day, he pulled him out. And it's the next day that the prophet Jeremiah gets back at the priest. And he says, you are not going to be called Pashur anymore. That is not going to be your name. God is going to call you by a new name. And that name is Terror All Around. Wonderful. This is going to be your new name. This is one of the activists in the church, one of the, let's say, the head of a committee or something. And now he is going back to the head, the leader of the church, the head minister, and he's saying, God's name for you is going to be Terror All Around. Here is conflict, the greatest conflict right at home in the church. And above all else, everybody else just wants to run and hide. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to become involved in it. We don't even want to read about it. And we don't want to imagine it happening to us. And perhaps there are those who, as we read this story, as we hear about this story, are remembering other times when there was conflict in the church. Membership meetings, parking lot meetings, behind the scenes meetings, all sorts of different kinds of conflict. And if we look at Matthew chapter 10, we see that Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Another text that makes us uncomfortable. It seems like Jesus himself is saying, I am bringing conflict. There is going to be conflict about me, around me, because of me. And even in the Old Testament, when Jeremiah was preaching what he said, this is the word of the Lord, and the priest in the house of the Lord was saying, I am a priest of the Lord, and you are not saying the right thing, there's conflict. And it makes us so uncomfortable. The second thing that makes us uncomfortable, which seems unrelated, is a stiff neck. Anyone who has ever slept in the wrong position, and you wake up and suddenly your neck is so stiff. You can't turn it. You can't move it. You can't do all of your normal daily activities because of your stiff neck. And in fact, that is the verse that caused Jeremiah to be prophesying that caused the priest to throw Jeremiah into the stocks. You know, they always say, when you're looking at events, you back up. You see the event that causes attention, then you back up a few minutes, you back up a day, you back up a month, you back up a year to see the big picture. That's what they say about all of the protests that are happening in the United States right now. You have to back up and look at the big picture. What caused this? If we back up just a little bit here and we look at chapter 19, the very last verse, that's where we find the reason. Verse 15, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I am now bringing upon this city and upon all its towns all the disaster that I have pronounced against it." This is what Jeremiah was preaching. All of this disaster because they have stiffened their necks, refusing to hear my words. They just refused to listen to what I have been saying. I, God, they have stiffened their necks. How have we stiffened our necks? Have we? Here we come to church. We want to hear the word of the Lord. And yet, even in the book of Jeremiah, you go back to Jeremiah 7, verse 11, or if you go to the New Testament, Matthew 21, verse 13, you'll find the same verse that says, this is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you have made it what? A den of robbers. We're not talking about how we are robbing each other. A den of robbers is a place where robbers come together and share their stories. It's like the gang, the hangout. And you laugh amongst yourselves and say how successful you have been in robbing. And you pat each other on the back and no one feels bad, no one feels guilty. We're all in this together. Oh, sorry. That's a different use of that phrase, isn't it? But is that applicable to us? As we sit in our pews, as we sit and listen to God's words, have we become so used to hearing certain select scriptures, certain of God's words, that we don't realize we come together as a den of robbers? Because in Jeremiah, God says, if this is the case, he says to the prophet, don't even pray for these people. Don't intercede. I am not going to listen to those kinds of prayers. Because my words have become ineffective, which doesn't make any sense, because we know that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we're reminded that the word of the Lord is like a sword. It's as sharp as a two-edged sword. It can cut between the ligament and the bone. That's how sharp the word of God is. But have we stopped listening? We say that reconciliation is the center of our work. This is our mission. That's why we're here. But have we gotten into such a habit of reconciling all of these different texts, different scripture passages, or even different sermons that we happen to hear? We reconcile it together with the actions that we are already taking, the way that we are already living, the lifestyle we have become used to. We're comfortable with this. And anything that doesn't fit, we just polish it and polish it and polish it and make it fit. Somehow reconciling it all. Reconciling is a banking term. And when you reconcile accounts, you make them fit together. You cook the books. Have we begun doing that? And I say we very strongly. And I wonder about myself because I see this picture and I think, Where do I stand here? Who am I in this story? And that's what all of the stories in the Bible are meant to get us thinking about. Who am I in this story, in this scenario? Today has been named National Indigenous Peoples Day, and some of us don't even know that. Yesterday was World Refugee Day, and some of us don't know that. And sometimes when we do know these things or we hear about these things, they have little to no impact on us. We're not affected. We've become so used to our stiffened necks, we can't turn and look and see what's going on all around us in the world in which we live. Sometimes I just feel like, well, I didn't do anything, or what have I done? I can't change the world. Or can I? And have I done the things that I can do? So that leads us to the next thing that makes us uncomfortable. Injustice makes us uncomfortable. Injustice makes us uncomfortable. And that is what God is saying to God's people, that they refused, in the past tense, what they refused to listen to. God is saying, do justice. And they stiffened their necks against that cry. God was not saying, worship me more, bring me more offering to appease your conscience, perhaps. I don't know. But God is saying, first and foremost, do justice, my justice. And Romans 6 reminds us, are we going to keep on singing? Are we going to keep on sinning so that grace may abound? May it not be. No, that cannot be our instinct to simply say, oh, forgive me, and then keep on doing. We have to turn, shuv, turn, repent, change our ways, and start to do justice. We have to pray to the Holy Spirit to show us where have we gone so far off the mark that we are not just according to God's justice. We have to invite the Holy Spirit to speak deep into our conscience and say, where is my attitude towards people who are different than I am, towards Indigenous people, perhaps? How do I recognize that as a white person, I have white privilege? Where have I taken that for granted? How have I become so used to it and used to accepting that white privilege that I no longer care that others don't have those same kind of privileges? I'm asking a lot of questions because I don't want to reconcile everything. I don't want to give the answers. I don't want to tie everything up nice and neatly. I want us to wonder about these things, to be unsettled, because the unsettling means that we will be turned in a new direction. Open our eyes, Lord. Show us where we are practicing injustice. So that then the lament that Jeremiah has, he's saying, every time I speak, they are simply laughing at me. When Jeremiah laments and cries out to God, I wonder how many people around us are crying out to God because of our own actions or inactions, because of our words, because of the support that we have for the system that's in place. Are people crying out to God because of us? The thing, however, that does give me hope. Number one, I do feel uncomfortable with injustice. And so I thank God for that. I know that that is not because of me, but that is God's justice. And that's the second thing that gives me even more hope. Because God is a God of justice. I don't have to convince God to be just. And in Jeremiah's words, O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution, for to you I have committed my cause. In simple honesty and surrender, I lift myself to God, knowing it's God's justice. And with a sincere desire in my heart to follow, not to stiffen my neck. And then reconciliation will be the true center of our work. And then we will be able to sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Amen.
Blessed are they, the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they, sorrow, they shall be consoled. Rejoice and be glad. Blessed are you,
blessed,
holy are you. Rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God. Yours is the kingdom, shine for all to see. Rejoice and be glad. Blessed are you,
blessed,
holy are you. Rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God.
Please bow for the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Let's sing together number 579, Lift Every Voice and Sing. This anthem holds a very special place in the faith experience of the African American community.
Sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let a rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not a weary feet come to the place for which our people sigh. Has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the bright gleam of our bright star is cast. Silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand.
land, true to our God, true to our native land.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.